Welcome back, everybody, to Rant of Thrones, the poor man's Game of Thrones after show. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly. Together we are, we're okay.
Exactly.
We're related to. We're mother and son. It's Mother's Day, so this is my way to hang out with you.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you coming on to chat with your dear old son about Game of Thrones because you do this for me, let's face it, because you know how much I love Game of Thrones. You love Game of Thrones.
I love it too, but I feel I'm so supremely stupid when I go to write the notes down for this show.
Oh, don't feel bad. I saw tweets. Somebody tweeted out me while watching Game of Thrones tonight, and it was a GIF, whatever you want to call it, of, I don't know, it was some comedy show, and it was like, who the fuck was that?
Yes, exactly. So, and I there was a couple of times during the episode that I was like, have we even seen these characters before?
I'm not going to lie. I had some moments of that as well tonight.
Oh, good. Thank God.
It's been a hot minute since we've seen some of these people some of these people we've never seen before.
I mean, Rickon, we've never seen him this size.
He's grown quite a bit since we last saw him, for sure. There was other people in this episode that we've never ever seen before, and I completely forgot that I guess I stole the who the fuck was that from that's on the Game of Thrones after show or whatever, after the Thrones, whatever the hell they call it. So
okay,
which I've watched twice. Mm-hmm. It's okay. A lot of people hate on it.
Badly. A lot of people hate on us too.
No,
so
no,
that's
I agree.
Okay.
I think it's way better than us. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. I don't get the hatred for it. I think it's good. I actually like it. It's deep. They have some nice conversations.
Try podcasting about it or just doing a video about it, and then you realize how little you actually know about this show.
Yeah, and that you can actually recall on a moment's notice.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like I know the show pretty well. I've read one of the books. I've seen all the seasons.
Yeah.
You know.
Multiple times,
exactly. But then when it comes down to opening my mouth about it, I'm like, shit, what was his name?
Yeah, well, you also...
Who's he related to?
Yeah, well, that's the hard part about it, because it seems like everybody's fucking related to everybody in this show in some form or fashion, which makes sense. I mean, technically, you know, this is around the medieval ages, I guess. You know, I don't know the exact timeline, but medieval times... Everybody was doing everybody.
Exactly.
You know?
So the whole Jaime and Cersei thing, come on, it's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah,
the royals have been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, I guess about that time, everybody was getting a little butthurt about it. You know? That's not quite cool. Why are you doing your sister over there?
Yeah, especially when it's your
lately? She's
twin.
Really hot.
When it's your twin. That does make it a little weirder.
I guess so. I guess it does make it a little weirder. And again, I have to apologize for my voice because it's still not quite back yet. I'm still getting over the sickness. But let's get into the episode. We're going to be discussing Season 6, Episode 3, Oathbreaker. Love that freaking name. It's amazing. And in this episode, Bran glimpses the past. Daenerys learns what's in store for her. Sort of. Tommen faces the High Sparrow. Arya trains to be no one. Varys comes up with a solution to a vexing problem. And Ramsay gets a gift.
Yes, he did.
Fuck Ramsay, man. Yeah. I say, let's just start right there.
With fuck Ramsay.
Yeah, with Ramsay Snow, because I'm just really...
I'm sorry, I must correct you. He is now Ramsay Bolton, thank you.
No. He's still a bastard in my eyes. No doubt about it. In this episode, we're gonna go through each character somewhat briefly for a lot of them, because I don't think a lot of stuff really happened for some of the characters in this episode. It was just like they wanted to jam-pack every freaking character that we have in this
episode.
Right, they wanted
to kind of touch on them, but not really do a whole lot.
Oh man, I could have had a really bad awkward joke there, but I refrain. I refrain.
Oh, thank you, God. It is Mother's Day.
Not quite enough beer to
not on Mother's Day about jamming things into people or
yeah. But anyway, so we're in Winterfell with Ramsay Snow. He has a chat with Lord Umber. I at first really digged Lord Umber.
Yeah,
because he's just throwing Ramsay all sorts of shit. We're farther north than you fuckers.
Yeah. when the wildlings come, we're the ones that have to battle them first. Yeah, yeah. He just seemed like very... I liked the way that he was totally standing up to Ramsay.
Yeah.
And wouldn't bow down, wouldn't kiss his ring.
No, 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 no kneeling, no kissing of the ring.
Yeah, and then he gave him a gift.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because my sentiments are now that the only fuckers around here are these assholes, because the gift... is the wildling Osha, I believe that's how you pronounce her name. I cannot really remember. She's been gone for a while. And Rickon Stark. And like you said, he's a little bit older these days. He's got
and,
more
and not burnt to a crisp,
yeah,
obviously.
Not burnt to a crisp. Theon did not burn him, in case you missed that. But what I'm really upset about is that they killed Shaggy Dog. That was quite possibly the saddest death that we've had on Game of Thrones in quite some time.
It's pretty ugly. It was not cool. I mean, it's like, okay, how do we know for sure? Ah, you sons of bitches. We do know for sure.
Yeah, that really hurt the heart.
Yeah.
I'm so ready for Jon Snow just to murder the ever-living shit out of the Karstarks.
Yeah.
Ramsay Snow. And now this Lord Umber prick.
Yeah.
Man, it's time for them to go. I'm so ready for this because, you know, they're like, okay, because you can tell that Ramsay's like, all right, we got to go take care of this Jon Snow situation up at Castle Black. Yeah, you're going to get it, son. You're going to get it. And please, okay. God, please, Game of Thrones gods, the old gods and the new, do not torture Rickon or Osha, however you pronounce her name. I cannot remember. Don't do it. We've seen it before.
Okay. We are talking about Ramsay for one.
Yeah, we are.
Torture is his thing, especially when it comes to the Starks. I mean, he's pissed off. His lovely bride is gone. So what better way to get revenge than torture her little brother?
But he's got to get her back, though. In order to get all the Northern Bannermen on his side, she's got to come back.
Yeah.
He's only got the assholes with him right now. So, yeah, not too happy about that. Taking a skip and a jump over to King's Landing with Cersei and Jaime. There was a lot that went on in this scene, but then not a lot that went on in this scene. Because we see that Qyburn, he's taking all of Varys' little birds and turning them into his whisperers. Because apparently they got to have the little birds versus the whisperers. And then Cersei and basically Jaime, they're ready to unleash Franken Mountain Zombie.
Right.
Do you want to see that? Because at this point, for me, I want them to unleash him on all these assholes at King's Landing and just get it over with.
Okay, what do you want to see the end game be? I mean, because obviously I'd love to see the Mountain Zombie, you know, go and mush the High Sparrow's head.
I want him to mush the High Sparrow, the Maester, Kevin Lannister. And that's really
Is his name really Kevin?
I believe it's Kevin Lannister.
Uncle Kevin?
Uncle Kevin. Yeah. I mean, but I can check. I got the Googles right here. But
that's okay. I mean, it's fine. I mean, I just think it's so boring. I'm sorry if your name is Kevin. I'm just mean, you know, in our particular time frame, it's easy to pronounce. So.
It's spelled Kevan, so it could be Kevan.
Okay, so
if you wanted to get proper about it.
Okay, so Uncle Kevan. At the small council meeting, I thought it was kind of interesting, you know, because obviously, you know, Cersei and Jaime come in and they're like, hey, fuck y'all, you know, we can be here.
Yeah, and they wanted to get things started at Dorne and all over Westeros, basically. They're ready to go to war.
Yeah.
You know,
they always are.
Very true, but now, like, they've completely aligned that they're ready to make people pay.
Well, obviously,
for
the whole
everything.
Right. I mean, you know, Cersei wants to get her revenge for her crap, but obviously her daughter's gone now. So yeah. She's pretty ticked off about it. And instead of everybody getting on her side, the smart thing to do, they all got up from the meeting and said that they'll see you later.
Yeah, Kevin Lannister's pretty bold right there, because I can't remember if it was him or somebody else that said, what are you going to do, have the Beast kill us all?
I'm like, yeah, exactly.
I was really surprised that Cersei didn't say, yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to have done.
Do you not know who I am?
Just pop everybody's head in there.
And then we're going to screw each other on your corpses.
Yeah, because that's how we roll. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on at King's Landing, but in this particular episode, it wasn't that it wasn't interesting. It just didn't fully capture my attention right now. I mean, we've got Tommen having his little chat with the High Sparrow, and it seems to be that the High Sparrow has kind of reversed his thought process.
Yes.
I mean, he even seems to agree with the High Sparrow at one point, saying that was it Tywin? I think it was Tywin or his father.
No, it was Tywin.
That's what I thought. It was mm-hmm. Tywin that said something similar to what the High Sparrow said. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there, because is Tommen going to go against Cersei and Jaime at this point?
I don't know. I did feel proud as a mother for a moment for the way he was being very decisive and actually, sounding kind of kingly, although he sounded kingly. And then he had this stupid little pout on his face. And I'm like, oh, God, wipe that off. But there were moments that I was looking at and I'm thinking, God, he looks so much like Cersei. He looks just a lot like his mom. And funny enough, not his dad, with air quotes. But anyway, I thought it was really interesting that, like you said, that he was very decisive for a second, and then suddenly he kind of seemed to change his whole thinking, and it seems like he is going to go against his mom a little bit. I think he just wants his boo back is what he wants.
I think so too. And yeah, Not going to blame him there. She's really hot, but you would at least think, yeah, like you said, that on Mother's Day today of all days, he would have grown a little bit of a backbone.
Not cool.
And bitch slapped the High Sparrow.
Not cool.
He did not do that at all. Speaking of some more stuff that really didn't have a whole lot in this episode, but I just want to touch on it so we can kind of brush through some of these storylines, getting to the meat of this episode. We had a Samwell Tarly and Gilly sighting in this episode as they made their boat ride to wherever the hell they're going, because I heard three names that they were going to. Yeah. They're either going to Old Town, the Citadel, and Hornhill. Which I'm guessing Old Town and the Citadel, they must be right next to each other.
The Citadel is in Old Town.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
But women aren't allowed in the Citadel, so she's got to go hang out in Old Town,
kicking it
with the peasants, basically.
Okay, now she's not going to Old Town, because the Old Town, that's where the Citadel is. She's going to go to his family farm.
Well, that's what Sam was trying to put down.
Yeah.
But Gilly wasn't having none of that.
Yeah.
She said, where my Sam goes, I go, bitch.
I know. I love her. I love them together. I was so excited when I saw the preview, because, when they said previously on Game of Thrones and they showed Sam, then they're going to be in that episode. And so I was like, we hadn't had him in a while. So that's cool. It was a nice little visit for a second. It didn't go much of anywhere, like you said, but it was nice for a second.
No, it was nice, and there was a super cute and tender moment whenever Gilly was talking about how she's learned how to read, and now she can discern between
sea,
the ocean, and sea, actually visibly seeing things, mm-hmm. and I smiled. You're right.
I know.
She's super cute.
She's
super cute in real life. Like, they take her down a few pegs on the show, because if you see her in real life, you're like, damn, son, Gilly, way to go, Sam. Way to freaking go. One other thing. Did we know that Sam was the dad?
He's not the dad. He is not the true dad.
Okay, that's what I thought too, but...
No, her husband / father was the true dad.
/ creeper.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was... it was her dad, right? Didn't he like breed all of his wives through all of his daughters and on and on through perpetuity. But no, I think she was just trying to say, you know, this is your baby, Sam. Okay.
Well, that's what I thought. I was just making sure that there wasn't some like crazy revelation, because I'm pretty sure the first time was whenever Sam got his ass beat, and then they had the awkward sex afterwards. So
some people, I mean, don't they call that like S&M?
I think so. Something like that. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I didn't think that was the case either, but it just kind of it threw me off there for a second. But she's just saying that he's the real dad because he's there for little Sam. So, all right. So continuing the journey on, we go check out Danny in Vice Dothrak. That is such a cool. I mean, the Dothraki language.
I know.
It just seems like if you were having a conversation with somebody in front of you in Dothraki, that you would just be spitting at each other
exactly.
the entire time.
This is the language of slobber. I mean, you totally will be spitting on their face, and I want to learn this language so badly.
I really do as well. It seems like it's so much fun to talk in Dothraki. The crazy thing is, I don't even think I took any... Oh, okay. Yeah, this is the only note that I really took for this whole scene was Kal Morrow welcomes Danny to the Kal Old Lady Retirement Home.
That's what I called it too, was the old lady's home.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, it just sucks though for her.
They don't even want her there.
No, they don't. And she might not actually get to stay. They may do something really ugly to her.
Yeah, I'm just like, this is some major bullshit right here.
Yeah, I mean, y'all look at her.
Yeah, why she's hot.
Why would she even want to come here?
Wait. We're missing a very key point here.
Okay.
She's around a lot of other chicks, and chicks don't like hot other chicks.
Oh, my God. Bitch, get your shit on out of here. I will cut you.
Exactly. Like, there's not even other dudes around. None of these dudes are going to be, you know, hitting that anymore because you can't do that with a Kal's old lady.
Have you not watched Orange is the New Black?
I only watched half a season of that show.
Oh, come on, dude.
It didn't grab me. Like, I know it's good. Lots of people dig it. Mm-hmm. It just didn't do it for me. My girlfriend loves it, but...
I'm trying to say is women without men around, obviously, you know, will...
They do other things.
They do other things. And so, you know, they don't want her to suddenly be the hottest item around.
No.
So, yeah.
The new Jenny on the block. Exactly. Nobody wants that. Well, I'm interested to see what happens with Danny in Vice Dothrak, but... Again, this was another storyline that it was so brief that it was almost felt like it was shoehorned in a little bit. I get it. You know, we talked about in our recap, our instant recap last week of how we're kind of liking that it's moving through material really quickly. But this episode was very much a slow down. We're setting the chess pieces up in this episode, which is okay. I still really enjoyed it, but it was... Compared to the last two,
it was slow. Right.
Yeah. And so many things.
And
in
I
the
was
episode.
Asking if you'd seen the. I was just gonna say I'd asked you if you'd seen the Saturday Night Live episode, the little vignette that they did about Game of Thrones, and they were saying how slow they felt the pacing was. With the whole Jon Snow thing.
Oh, they were bullshitters.
It wasn't slow. I mean, I could see what they were saying. You know, we said the same thing that, you know, they hadn't burned him.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, man, this happened so fast. Y'all shut your mouth. It was still funny, though.
Oh, it was. It was a good joke. And I mean, yeah, he was on a slab for two episodes. So I get that in the grand scheme of things, being on a slab for two episodes is slightly slow. But... It wasn't slow at all. It was incredible. So F you, Saturday Night Live. Not really. I did think it was funny. So, okay. We're going to go and take a trip to check out Arya at the House of Black and White or White and Black or whatever they call it in Braavos.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's hanging out. She's still getting her ass kicked by that waif chick. I don't know what else to call her. But then she has a moment and she blocks that mean ass chick's attack. And then she basically completes her training.
Yes. Okay, Grasshopper.
Yes.
You were able to move on, Grasshopper. I was super happy. And what was interesting to me, because the waif and other dude, can't remember his name.
Oh, how do you not remember Jack and Hagar?
Oh, yes, that's the one. Because I'm on a podcast and I forget completely.
I'm giving you shit. I just love Jack and Hagar. Like,
I do
plus
too.
It's a cool name.
It's a very, so.
But technically, Jack, he's a faceless man.
Yes.
So, I mean, he could be anybody he wants.
The faceless, nameless man.
There you go.
The waif and Jack were in the same scene.
Yes.
So at one point, we weren't sure if they were really the same person.
Yeah, we still don't really know if it's still Jack and Hagar or if it's just somebody with Jack and Hagar's face because, yeah, I mean, last season we thought we saw Jack and die and then the waif girl turned into him. And then, yeah, like you said, in this episode we see both of them in the same frame at the same time. Who the hell knows with these faceless men? I mean, I like to think that Jack and Hagar is like the, you know, the number one dude with the faceless man.
I will argue and argue and argue that he is alive because I do. I love him. So, yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't know, Michael Jackson and Diana. You know, for a long time, I thought they were the same person. And then I ended up seeing them together. And so then I knew they weren't the same person. So.
I'm so glad that you found out that Michael Jackson and Diana Ross were not the same.
I'm just saying. I was just trying to think of somebody that, you know.
Very nice.
I hate you. I hate you. It's Mother's Day, you bastard. Laugh at my fucking jokes.
Don't put me in there with Ramsay. I'm not killing any freaking direwolves around here. I did like that she got her sight back. I thought that was quicker than we were going to get. I thought they were going to maybe drag that out a little bit. And again, with her storyline, it's been really queek. It's been queek.
Yes.
Lots of short sequences with her each week. So we haven't spent a whole lot of time with her, but I mean, we've already seen her sort of get trained. You know, she's had her very low point. Then she came back, she trained, she, you know, got stronger, and now she's back to Arya Stark, I guess.
No, she's not.
She's nameless.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not Arya Stark, but she's going to be a badass, I hope. Don't know what's going to happen with her next, but I'm excited to find out.
I'm ready for them to move on.
Well, I think that's a good thing about it. I think that they realized that probably wouldn't be all that interesting because we technically saw her train all last season too. So I think that they're moving through that storyline really quickly. Cause if you took out episode 1, 2, and 3 from season 6 with just the Arya scenes, they'd probably only make up 7 minutes. Right?
Yes.
Not
and again,
not a whole lot.
They did a good job of making it quick. And I was happy to see her continuing her lessons. And I was happy that she seemed to have moved on from it and became, you know, some kind of a ninja master. She drank the Kool-Aid. She didn't die. That was cool. She got her sight back.
Yeah.
Let's go on to something really awesome.
Yeah. Let's go find the Hound. Because that's what I'm hoping
I want her
stems from this conversation. Because you know, his name was brought up.
Yeah.
And she said that she removed
him
from the list.
Exactly. I want her to go help her brother that she got whacked because she called him her brother. And he's not really. Just a half-brother. I want her to go help John.
Well,
kick some fucking ass.
I want her and the Hound to go help John. And I want the Hound to get his revenge,
yeah,
and slay his brother, Sir Gregor Clegane,
yeah,
Frankenmountain.
You think that's really going to happen?
His
brother seems pretty damn.
He's been gone for quite some time.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean anything.
No,
we had a Rickon sighting.
Exactly,
we had a Bran sighting.
Rickon was like a baby last time we saw him. So,
yeah, exactly. And speaking of Bran, I say we go there next. We're
very, saving the best for last, for God's sakes. Come on.
Varys and Tyrion, you know, they're hanging out in Meereen, whatever.
Yeah.
Not a lot going on there with that scene to me. Tyrion had some funny moments.
But, yeah.
So let's go to The Flashback with Bran and Blood Raven slash the Three-Eyed Raven, and they're at the Tower of Joy. Now, I already can see the headlines coming. People are going to be pissed. They cut this really cool flashback scene off from us viewers. How did you feel about that? Were you kind of crushed that we did not get to see what was actually in the Tower of Joy?
Oh, just like Bran was. Yeah. I mean, I was like, don't take me back. Seriously, let me go back and see this. I love the guy that they've got to play a young Ned Stark. I love him so much. And I'm just happy to see Ned in any shape or form. Now, it's kind of sad for Bran, who saw his dad do something that was different from the stories that he had been told.
Yes.
That was a bummer. But I did want to see what was in the tower.
I did as well. I don't know who that actor is either, but I really like that actor that they've got to play young Ned as well. I think he was great. Mm. I did notice that he was a little bit sassy, though. Did you notice that as well?
He was sassy?
Yeah, he was a little bit sassy because he comes up to Sir Arthur Dayne and he's like, I look for you on the Trident, bitch.
Yeah.
where you at?
Yeah, exactly.
And then whenever Sir Arthur Dayne, you know, he basically puts his helmet on and everything, and he's like, it's time to go or something like that, or now it begins, and Ned says no, now it ends. I'm like,
well,
damn.
I know, but you know what I was thinking? Because I was thinking about that. That would not be my line, especially when I know I am not as good of a swords person as Dude was. I mean, he's a double swordsman, so come on. But
yes, Arthur Dayne was the shit.
Yeah, so do you go, okay, well, let's fight. No, all right. Don't worry about it, dude. Yeah, don't worry about it, dude. We'll see each other later.
Yeah.
Or do you just, you know, talk some shit to him and say, yeah, it ends now.
I think you got to shit talk.
Yeah.
You got to at least pep yourself up, even though you know that most likely you're going to die, because, you know, according to legends, and even I think Ned has said it himself in maybe past episodes and from the books as well, that Sir Arthur Dayne was, you know, he was a beast, and we saw it in this episode, and it was incredible watching this fight. We get Ned Stark and Hallen Reed, which is really cool to see, because Hallen Reed has the connection to Mira and Jojen Reed, who we've seen in the past couple of seasons with Bran. You know, Mira's with Bran currently right now at the wherever they're at with the Three-Eyed Raven. So it was really cool getting to see all these connections start coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sad, like you said, that Bran sees Ned not win the battle against Sir Arthur Dayne, but yet Hallen Reed is the one that comes up and saves him.
Yeah. I mean, technically he did slice his throat after he'd already been stabbed in the back.
He didn't want to, though. You could see it. Because, you know, Ned's so honorable.
Yeah.
It's just like that battle that Jaime had with Ned back in season one. And where Jaime was super pissed off when that guy stabbed Ned in the leg.
Right.
And he told his dad, Tywin, he said, you know, I didn't want to kill him because it wouldn't have been an honorable death.
Mm-hmm.
And you could kind of see that, like a little twinge of that in Ned's eyes, like, this is not honorable for Sir Arthur Dayne, but I have to do this because otherwise it's not really honorable just to, like, see him just bleed out there from this wound that I didn't inflict. So I'm just super excited if they're going to come back to the Tower of Joy, because we know that that's where Lyanna is, and that's where Ned goes to save her. You know, I put in air quotes, save her from Rhaegar Targaryen.
Right.
So
she did scream, though.
She was screaming, but were those screams of pain, or those screams of joy?
Oh, God.
or were they screams of labor?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
From one Jon Snow.
Yeah, that had to be. That had to be it. That's where he goes and gets his sweet, sweet baby John.
Yeah, because, I mean, we know that Lyanna, she makes him promise something, but we don't know what that promise is yet. And the writers of the show, they're going to leave us hanging for a little bit longer as we wait to find out if Jon Snow is indeed Lyanna Stark and Rhaegar Targaryen's kid. And speaking of Jon Snow,
what a great segue. Let's go to Jon Snow.
Yeah, we will end with Jon Snow. We've got a really sweet naked butt crack shot.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was so excited. I was jumping up and down on the couch. I was embarrassed for myself. And then I said, nope, just go with it, girl.
Yeah, he's been working out in the off season. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's crazy. Go back to season one. He was, you know, he wasn't in, like,
well, he was young, bad,
but he was young. Yeah, he was definitely young.
Yeah.
My girlfriend, bullshitting me, she's like, contain yourself over there. It's like, whatever. Yeah. I love you, Jon Snow.
I know, exactly. I'm saying, come on, you know, yeah. You say you're straight.
I do,
but
I mean,
you would
John,
go gay for it, Jon Snow.
For the Lord Commander, exactly. I mean, you do what the Lord Commander asks.
Although, so. We will say, he is no longer the Lord Commander.
He is not, because my watch has ended, as
okay.
He says at the end.
How big of an orgasm did you have when he said his watch has ended? I mean, I'm sorry.
It was pretty badass.
It was so badass. It was so cool. I was like, oh my God, I want that on my tombstone.
Yes, my watch has ended. I loved everything about Jon Snow in this episode. I'm glad that they spent a considerable amount of time. It should always be longer. And I'm also glad that they kicked off the episode with Jon Snow. That was so cool. You know, we left off last week with the and we came back to it immediately in this episode as him, the Wildling, Ser Davos, Melisandre, the Night's Watch. They're all coming to terms with the fact that Jon Snow is alive again. That
and he was super freaked out.
He was super freaked out.
Of course you would be. But when he, you know, he looks down at his body and he sees all the stab wounds, and then it all floods back to him that he remembers all the Night's Watch stabbing him, those stupid motherfuckers. And I think the first thing he says is basically, motherfucking Ollie. Something along those lines, you know?
I don't think it was quite that, but I wanted it to be that, you know, you wanted the memes to come out of Jon Snow right there, the fuck Ollie memes, mm-hmm. As soon as he woke up. But I think my favorite line before we get into the fuck Ollie portion of the podcast recap was from Tormund whenever he meets
him. Oh, my
him.
God. That was so great.
Yeah. And he's telling him, they all think you're a god, but I saw your pecker. What kind of god would have a pecker that small? Oh, yeah. My God.
I thought that was great, too. I mean, you know.
Phenomenal.
Try to make him feel good. Give him a little laugh there. Because
yeah,
we all saw
the food.
Yeah, we saw the way that loin cloth was bulging.
There was no little
pecker there.
You tell Tormund. That's right, Tormund. My mom said it was, Jon Snow was packing.
Exactly.
Oh, well, it was, I liked the fact that we got a little bit of humor in all of these, like, really, really somber moments from Jon Snow coming back, because it led to, for me, a fairly sad scene. Even though, you know, I've been on the hashtag fuck Ollie.
Yes, and, you have.
You know, I want the t-shirt and all this kind of stuff. It was a sad moment whenever he had to... in not only Ollie's life, but Ser Alistair Thorne.
Yeah.
And
did you think for a second that he was going to change his mind?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. And we talked about in our top three moments from episode two. You can go check out the video. It's in the description down below.
And shame it's awesome. Plug, plug. Plug.
Yes, plug, plug, plug. We talked about, would Jon Snow be changed from coming back to life. And I do think that he's changed, because I don't think the old Jon Snow would have cut that rope. I think that he would have thought about it really hard. He might have let them kind of hang in the wind there for a second. Not by cutting the rope and then letting them hang. But I just don't think he would have done it. I think he would have been like, you guys were doing your duty. I understand
it. Yeah, you did what you thought was right.
Yeah.
But
and I even thought that for a second there, that once he cut that rope, that he was going to literally come and, you know, just like cut the tops of all their ropes and let them fall down. And, you know, they'd be gasping for air, but they'd still be alive.
Right.
So there's no Ollie redemption story. No Sir Alistair Thorne redemption story.
I thought he was going to stab Ollie right in the heart.
They really zoomed in on the Ollie dead face.
Well, they zoomed in on the petulant Ollie face when John, you know, is looking down at the ground before, you know, he's working up his courage to look Ollie right in the eye. And, you know, and he's thinking, okay, I'm going to see the Ollie of old, you know, this kid that I really wanted to take under my wing. And he looks up and Ollie's like, shit, motherfucker. You know, he has this super just.
This is what happens when we drink before the podcast.
I know. So. See, Skype wasn't working.
Exactly.
And so I had plenty of time to drink before we started, and potty mouth comes out.
It does. It does indeed. But that's all right. I mean, I think when you're watching Game of Thrones, the potty mouth needs to fly. You know, in honor of one Tyrion Lannister and pretty much everybody else in Westeros and Braavos. And
so sorry. I apologize. You
know, everywhere else.
I'm not being a good representative for Mother's Day.
No, you're the coolest mom. You won the coolest mom of the year award.
Okay.
So.
All right.
But yeah, it was a sad moment, and I'm very excited to see what comes next for Jon, because we know that Ramsay, he's probably most likely going to start moving his forces towards Castle Black. John's left the watch. He's left Dolores Ed in charge as the Knight's like watch commander.
I know,
he's
Lord
Commander now.
He's like, oh, dude, come on, please, don't hand this to me. And you know, he's like dropping the coat and dropping it. You know, I don't want this. Seriously, I didn't bring you back for this.
So great.
I kind of wondered. I mean, it was a pretty ballsy kind of move to kill all the dudes, the bad dudes, and then quit.
Yeah, I mean, it's been speculated that this was going to happen, that coming back, because he died defending, you know, the realm as a Night's Watchman. With coming back, they, you know, everybody kind of thought that this would allow him to leave the Night's Watch and, you know, one, be able to
get
take
a
back,
woman.
You know, well,
oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, his woman's gone. I think John at this point, he doesn't want any women, which I feel him, because Ygritte, man, she was hot. She was so hot, and I loved her.
I know, but it's a waste. It's a waste for him to not.
Where's freaking Melisandre? You said it's a waste?
Yes, it's such a waste.
Well, you might have to convince him of that, but I think right now he is a man on a mission. And he is on a mission to kill every dude, woman, whatever, whoever wronged the Starks.
Yeah.
It's retribution time, bitches.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see it, because I'm thinking that we're going to get, it's going to kick off at least next weekend, season 6, episode 4. I'm very excited for that episode. So I think that's all of our thoughts. We're going to come back later this week with our top 3 to 5 moments that we really enjoyed from the episode. It'll probably be a top 3 this week. We'll probably keep it pretty light, because I think we covered off on quite a bit of them in this recap. We hope you enjoyed it. We want to know your thoughts on the episode, so leave them in the comment box down below. I want to thank, it's actually Adele K. Thomas, I believe is her name. She is the one, she was Del Funkster that gave us the poor man's Game of Thrones nickname, which I really, really enjoy. She does fantastic art. She happens to love I believe it, oh, I cannot remember which characters that she tries to ship all the time on the show for Game of Thrones. I don't know. Go look at her stuff, Adele Thomas on Twitter. She has fantastic artwork, so go check that out. Thanks so much for joining us as we chit-chat about Game of Thrones. We're very excited about next week's episode. It's going to be fantastic. Before we leave, we rate the episodes out of Bacon's, or do we do that in our top three? I can never remember.
I think we do it in the top three.
Okay. Well, so then we'll make you wait for that.
Yeah, we'll save that.
Yeah, you've got to watch that video to find out what our score out of Bacon's would be for this episode. Mm-hmm. So there's another shameless plug. So thanks so much for watching, and we're going to go to bed now.
All right. Bye. Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to all the awesome moms like my mom out there.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. I need a dollar now.